get to know the artist behind the epic melodies, songs, and beats. Celebrating the best new music from around the world. This is the A State of Trance Podcast.
What's up? My name is Ruben Ronde and welcome to a new A State of Trance Podcast with... Well, a nice duo in the studio. They just played their set for the State of Trance broadcast and I was blown away. Such warm and nice sounds, a great performance, nice energy behind the decks. Welcome, Siskin.
Oh, thank you so thank much. You. We shall pay you later. Well, that's such lovely.
I'll make sure that that will be arranged. So Sue, Suzanne, welcome once again. You've only been a duo since 2019. So normally we will be diving into the history of many, many years of working together, but you've only been working for such a short time together. So first I want to start with you guys individually, if that's okay.
Oh, okay.
All right? Yeah. So who wants to go first?
I'm nervous.
I'll go first.
You go first.
You should be nervous. All right, let's start with Suzanne. Because the funny thing is, not your first time in the studio.
That's right.
Because we've seen you here producing, I think it was Solar Stone's 100th episode of his radio show.
And 200.
200.
Both episodes, yeah. Pure Trance 100 and 200.
Because besides DJing and producing, you're also doing a lot of behind the scenes work at radio shows.
That's right.
I would love to know from you, what sparked your interest into dance music in general? Like,
gosh. Well, that goes back to Gatecrasher days back in the early 2000s, before Gatecrasher in Sheffield burnt down. I used to go along while I was at university and... just blown away by the music, and it's always stayed with me. And then, you know, throughout the years, I actually trained as a journalist and I went to work for Capital FM. And in fact, I'll tell you this story. So I was working for Capital FM. This is back in 2014. Mm-hmm. And I'd already bought tickets for A State of Trance. And I interviewed Armin for a radio show that I was doing at a local radio station. So I'd got his telephone number. So I text Armin and said, look, I'm coming along to A State of Trance. Yeah. Would you be up for doing an interview for Capital? And he said, he gave me his Carmen's number. And so I came along to A State of Trance 650 as a journalist. And I remember Armin, this is before I started working in dance music. And I said to him, you know, what would you say to somebody who's got all these ideas for music and wants to play one day at your festival? And he just said, look, go away, create dance music, get a big artist to play it, and eventually you'll get on the lineup. That's what he said to me at the time. So that literally sparked my career in dance music and producing, because two of the guys that I was working with at Capital, Andy Durant and Nick Riley, they started a company called Distorted. Riley and Durant. Yeah. They heard about what I'd been doing in Utrecht, interviewing Armin, and I obviously got all the footage to Capital. And they said to me, do you fancy coming to work on a radio show for Paul Van Dyk? Because they'd taken on Paul Van Dyk as a client. So I was like, literally, I packed in my job as a journalist, I packed in my job as a university lecturer, and I went to Distorted and became Paul Van Dyk's radio producer.
Wow, Phonic Sessions.
And it's all kind of, and then obviously we took on Solar Stone, we did some syndication for Giuseppe, and they've all helped me as well, musically, kind of get to where I am now. And then, we come full circle, and here I am talking to you about appearing on A State of Trance, the festival.
And I'm actually kind of nervous right now because I'm not a real journalist, but you are. So I feel like I'm getting, so after this podcast, I'll hear, well, at this point you didn't do well. Or,
No,
I find it super interesting that you took the decision to leave everything behind and just to go for your passion.
That's right.
There's something that I really admire.
Yeah, definitely. And I love this is what I love doing.
Yeah.
And every ounce of my being wants to do this forever.
Yeah.
So, it was an easy decision.
Yeah. And then you started working on all these radio shows, and there's a lot of artists that really trust your ears because you also check a lot of music for certain radio shows.
Yeah.
Were you at a certain point that you were like, okay, this music is nice, but I can do it better? Is that one of the reasons why you started making music?
What happened? So I've been writing my own music since I was about 9 years old on the piano, and I got all these brilliant piano tracks, but I didn't understand how to make it into dance music. And that was always what I wanted to do. So I, as I was listening, because I've been Distorted's music, head of music, if you like, for all mm-hmm. all the tracks coming into Distorted since 2014.
Yeah.
And every time I heard a song, I'm like, oh, do you know what? I need to do something with my music. I need to do something. And eventually I did. And the first track that I put together, I thought, yeah, this is good. And I sent it to Giuseppe. And he sent it back with like a list of everything that was wrong with it. And he's like, you're mad to try and publish this. So it took me another year after I sent that track to Giuseppe, and I was working with Richard Lowe. And yeah, it was another year after that till it got to a point where actually the labels would release it.
I think actually big shout out to Giuseppe that he takes the time to do that. I have to say, if you haven't already, make sure to check his masterclasses.
He's amazing.
And his community also. I know that he has a community going on his masterclass. Everybody that has a masterclass also gets feedback from him, like yourself.
Yeah.
He takes the time to write it down together with Neil. I think that's very, that's insane that he has the time to produce all this music and also do that on the other side.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, that's nice to hear a little bit of your history. Now we're going to Sue.
Wow.
Hello, Sue.
Hello.
I've always been a big fan of yours.
Oh, and
the same question goes to you. What made you spark to go into dance music? Because you've been having so many amazing songs already since, 2010 or even earlier?
Yeah, right about then, actually, it was. I've always kind of been in bands. I've always written songs, but not kind of dance music.
Yeah.
I think I answered some advert on a music magazine to someone wanted some vocals done, like a demo vocals. And I thought, well, I've got my home studio. I'll do that.
Yeah.
And then it was for kind of a poppy type track. And this guy said, actually, your voice would really suit trance music. And I'm like, trance music?
What is that?
What's trance? I'm admitting it now here on A State of Trance, guys. Yes.
Yeah.
And then that was it, really. And I think after about 6 months, I'd had a couple of releases with Ali and Fila.
Yeah.
And it was just like amazing. Just the uplifting melodic nature of kind of that kind of style of music. I just was like,
how did you go from someone telling you should try trance music to work with someone like Ali and Fila?
I think it was a friend who's now a friend who maybe had all those contacts and some links, and he was like doing some top line writing for different people.
Uh-huh.
So he said, look, why don't we do some top lining together? Or I'll send you this one. I haven't got time for this one. Do you want to try that one? It was that kind of a thing, really.
Yeah.
I just thought of writing a song, whatever came, and it just seemed to fit. And then the releases started to come. I couldn't believe it.
That's great. That's great. And then you start working also with Paul van Dijk a lot, of course.
Yeah, we have. And we've still got more things to come. Yes, we've done some live shows with Paul. I feel really fortunate, actually, to have worked with these people.
Amazing. Well, I'm happy to hear, because there's so many great tunes that also have been a big part of this radio show. I mean, we've heard your voice so many times already, and then never had you on the show. Luckily, we have you now.
I've been in the background, you know, when you've had events on.
Yeah.
I've always been a bit like, shall I say hello? No, I just stand in the back.
Just gaze at everything.
Just gaze at everything, yeah. A bit overwhelming sometimes, I think, being in State of Trance.
You think so?
No, not so much now. No, I've been and we've had a little mix. But because it's kind of the pinnacle of trance, I guess.
It's an iconic studio, isn't it? And it's to actually be here, it almost feels like a dream in a way.
Okay.
Yeah. Are we actually dreaming?
I do ask myself that, actually.
So Suzanne came to 650 for the first time, I guess. Did you also go to State of Trance events before as well?
No, I haven't actually. I have played at a few events and things like that and did vocals at live events.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to a lot of shows, but mostly in the UK sort of thing.
So you come from a rock background and
not rock per se.
Well,
kind
I
of
guess
more
singer,
like
songwriting.
Yeah,
things.
Kind of indie,
it's
electro,
like a
that kind of thing.
Raver.
Yeah,
from
exactly.
Gate Pressure, Dark Rooms.
Yeah, you know? I did like a music production course years ago, like a 2-year course. I think I was one of three. It was about 100 people on the course, and there were three women, of which I was one. And then got signed to kind of publishing and stuff like that.
Awesome. And then your road started with Annie Philip, Paul van Dijk.
Exactly.
A lot of with Rez Nitzen, of course, a lot of work with Rez.
Yeah.
Big shout out, Rez.
Yeah, we did. Legends. We've not done anything for quite some time, but yeah, we did definitely do quite a lot of releases together. It was fun.
Now, here we're getting to 2019-ish, I guess.
It was 2018 when we met. But then I think it was 2019 when we had our first release, Real Love, on Vandit Records.
Mm-hmm.
But we wrote it in the what happened, so I'd produced a track and it was going to be my first solo release, and it was another one that I played to Sue, and then she sang over the top, and so I sent it over to her and just to show her what I've been doing, and she sent it back going, well, I'm meant to be working, but I've actually wrote a little vocal to it. And she sent it back.
Like,
and it
correcting
was,
your homework.
Yeah. And it was the most amazing thing. It was due to be released and we pulled the release because I was like, right, this has got to be our first track. And that's kind of where it started. So it was 2018 when all that happened. Uh-huh. And then we released in 2019 on Vandit.
Amazing. That's how it goes, I guess. But I would like to know, because this is probably a question that needs to be asked. Siskin, what does it mean? Yeah. And who came up with it?
We wanted something that was like a songbird kind of idea to it. And we were going to go with Goldie and Finch.
And
we'd already produced this track and we're like, right, what are we going to call ourselves? We were going to call ourselves Goldie and Finch. And then we spoke to Paul Van Dyke's manager, Alexa, and she's like, Goldie and Finch, what does that mean?
No. I hear her saying it.
And so we quickly changed our minds and Sue came up with it.
I don't know how, I was just randomly looking at birds and then I suddenly thought, I don't know why I was drawn to birds. But yeah, then I saw Siskin and I just thought, oh, Siskin, that's interesting. Because when you split the word up, you've got like cis as in women together, kinfolk. And I just thought it was kind of got like double meaning. So I thought, oh, let's do that.
That's a good ring to it.
Yeah. Is it?
But now I would love to know, how did you first, because there's a question also from Igor Yu on Instagram, how does this duet born? I understand the question. So how did you guys meet up? Like, what made the connection that you wanted to make music together?
Well, do you want to tell the story?
Yes. Yeah, just we met backstage in a green room at a performance I was at, and noticed that there was only one other woman in the room, and that was Suzanne. I just thought, oh, I'm going to see who she is, what she's doing. And then Suzanne had got a new track out and you were buzzing about that, weren't you?
Yeah, because it had just been played. And yeah. I was like, my track's been played at Gatecrasher.
Yeah, and I think we're just reflecting that there was, we're not encountering a lot of women who are producing music in the scene.
Yeah.
And I just thought, wouldn't that be good for us to like build up our skills to produce more ourselves? And it just also inspires other girls and other women coming through into the scene. So I think we just made a decision on that night, that brief encounter, that let's this be the start of something, and now let's just see where it takes us, I guess.
But so many things could have gone wrong, because I've had many of those meetings with
have
people
you?
In backstage, like, hey, let's do something together. Never happens.
Really?
Well, maybe 1 out of 100 times it actually happens.
Wow.
I mean, for example, I'm calling you out right now, Cosmic Gate. Many times we always say to each other, also at State of Trends, even on the microphone, let's do a track together. And yeah, let's do it. You high five, you walk out of the studio.
And then...
Nothing happens.
So calling you out, Cosmic Gate.
Yeah, this has to be the final time then if they're listening. Surely you've got to make it happen, guys.
That's it.
No. But yeah, because you had to talk backstage. And then the question is, how do you go about meeting each other again to make music?
Well, we lived quite far apart as well. And then we realized that we used different doors. So I was an old Cubase user and you'd already made the leap to Ableton. We're like, oh my goodness, how can we even share
I like your
files?
Yeah. Yeah.
I took the leap, didn't I? I just, sorry for all the Cubase users out there, but I ditched it. And then I kind of went on to Ableton. Then we just started to pass files back and forth, meeting up, spending time together, just sharing ideas and just letting it kind of filter like that, didn't we?
Yeah. And then with one of our tracks, Electric Love, in fact, quite a few of these tracks, that we did during lockdown, it was all over Zoom. So what we did, we found like a file sharing, music sharing software.
Yeah.
And Sue would tune in Newcastle and I'd tune in and she'd be able to listen to exactly what we were putting out. And that breakdown to Electric Love, that was all written within about 2 hours in lockdown, like 2 hours apart. And so we've just been collaborating like that. So sometimes Sue takes a microphone everywhere, so she's got her phone and she might be driving along in the van and then go, oh, I've got a song idea, and she'll record it and she'll just send me, oh, I've had an idea, and I'll be like, yay. So I put it into Ableton, we put some beats behind it, and it just develops from that. Or I say to Sue, I've had an amazing idea on the piano, because where I work, even like when I work at home, I've got a full-size piano in front of me. Even if I'm not working on music, I've got a piano there. So sometimes when I'm working, I'm like, oh, I've got an idea. So I'll quickly put it down on the piano, or I'll record it on my phone, or I'll put it into Ableton and send it over to Sue, and Sue writes a vocal over it. And then that's it, really.
Yeah, absolutely. You must find the same, Ruben. Those ideas just come all the time, don't they?
They do, yeah.
Like, oh,
well,
I'm going to write
about
that.
I don't have a good singing voice. I'm not a...
Well, I don't believe you.
No. I'm not... No, we're not doing that. No, but... I do the same like what you do, the recording little bits and pieces with your phone. Mm-hmm. But again, like half the time those ideas come up sleeping in the airplane. You're like, oh, this melody. Yeah. Nice. You grab your phone, you're like, na-na-na-na. 2 days later, you listen to it.
What is that?
Yeah,
exactly.
What were you thinking?
I did that the other day. I was like, oh yeah, that's so good. I'm like really pleased with myself. And I like listened back. I'm like, what is that? I don't even sound like I'm singing in key. I don't even know what I was thinking.
I know the feeling way too well. So that also kind of answers the question. The question of Amy's done. She wants to know what inspired them to start producing. Well, you basically inspired each other to start.
I think so. Yeah, definitely.
And the music that we produce is music from our heart. So it's we don't produce for any. Oh, right, we want to do that label or we want to do this genre. It's music that feels right to us. So we cross over genres into our own kind of field of euphoric house / progressive trance.
And how do you divide everything? Like, would you consider that you would do the beats and you would start singing, for example?
Well, that's what
just
we
actually said that over lunch. I said it's about time you sang something.
And I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna sing on the next one. And yeah.
So we generally share the beats and we share the chord progressions or, you know, the synths and whatever, stuff like that. But generally, yes, has been me singing everything. So it would be rather nice, actually.
I'm going to sing on the next one. You heard it here first. Not that I can sing.
It's going to be one of those cosmic gate things, isn't it? It's like, yeah, 5 years down the line. Sue, are you ever going to do that? Are you going to do that?
Yes. Well, next time we're going to see you guys, you know what my first question is going to be.
Oh, gosh.
Here we go. There he is. Suzanne, take it away. No. So I guess when you're doing the work, you do songwriting, or is it something that you do together as well? Because normally, I guess when you are working on some vocal stuff, someone would send you an instrumental and sing on it. Or is it the other way around, that you write something on piano and then you send it off to someone to work on? Or
yeah, historically when I've done uplifting stuff, mostly I've had an instrumental in that. It's a really good start to get the idea created, which fits quite well. But maybe the last few years, and certainly with Siskin, it's just literally from the ground up. I've got this little instrument from the 1980s called an Omnicord. I don't know if you've heard of them.
No.
It's a little Japanese kind of auto harp, and I use that as a little kind of ideas generator sort of thing. So mostly from the ground up now.
Yeah. And also for you, it must be interesting to have like a band kind of thing going on, because normally you would work with several different artists. You work with so many artists. And now you're working just with Suzanne, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
How does that feel, that you're part of the whole production process and instead of just getting the instrumental right on top of that?
It feels great. It feels sometimes like I wish we could get things done quicker, but I think that just comes with time and practice and things like that.
And our day jobs
and our kids and things like that.
Yeah.
So just fitting everything in. So sometimes, you know, we've got like the song idea, but it might take us a good while to get it up to standard where we think, okay, this is where we need to be. So, but I think that can only with time and practice, that'll be faster, won't it?
Yeah.
Well, I think you're doing a good job already.
Thank you.
You're doing so much stuff at the same time. I think it's inspiring that you still pursue your dream, that you still have like, I want to do this. And in the meantime, you have all other things to do. So there is never an excuse.
That's right.
To not chase your dreams, right?
There really isn't.
No, and the way I look at it is sometimes the steps forward will only be tiny and minute. You might be stepping forward an inch or a millimeter or whatever, but as long as you're moving forward to where you want to be, you'll get there eventually. Yeah. And I think it's going to take time. And it's going to take a lot of persistence and effort. And it is a struggle sometimes, you know, when we're trying to balance all these other things. But together, collectively, this is what we want to do. And we want to do this full time.
Yeah. But so many other people are doing that too, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely.
Just like putting the hours in, doing their other jobs, doing their other commitments, but just really just doing it.
But if you're balancing everything by yourself and you just are an artist by yourself, it's even easier than working as a duo, that you both have to balance these things and have to come together somehow, some how to make music anyway.
That's true.
So how many hours would you put in normally in a week just to make music?
Gosh, well, it just depends what we're doing. I mean, what we try and do is we block book like studio sessions. So we might have a week of just spending time together in the studio and getting everything done together. In the meantime, while we're doing other things, we're writing little tunes here and there or coming up with ideas, and then we spend time together, don't we?
Yeah, definitely.
So you put each other on a deadline, basically.
Yeah.
I think it helps to have a deadline.
It does, too, yeah.
It just really makes you focus and move forward.
Yeah.
Or just trying to be more efficient. You know, I'm just trying to be more efficient in having like templates for my vocals and all the chains set up so I can be up and running quite quickly and things like that.
Decide sounds quicker. Yeah. Dedicate sounds quicker.
Definitely, yeah. Obviously otherwise things that you can adjust, but just a good starting point.
Yeah.
So it doesn't slow you up in your finite amount of time that you have to focus on these things.
Exactly. So it's all time management.
Definitely.
So if give me a tip, because my time management is, well, I don't have a lot of time either, so I know how it is. But if you would give me one tip for my time to be better, what would it be?
Oh gosh, that's difficult. Be organized. What I do is I like graphs and charts and Excel spreadsheets, if you like, to try and organize myself. And so if you give yourself a deadline and you plan out the days and actually like a schedule and say, right, I'm going to do an hour of music tonight, and make sure that you do it and put it down on a schedule and get used to doing it, so that after 2 weeks, apparently, that's how long it takes to create a habit. So before long, you'll get into the habit of on a Thursday night between 7 and 8, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And so it's just about keeping that going, I think.
Yeah, but that's really
what if creativity doesn't hit you in that hour?
Then you do something else with music. So it might be like you maybe do a mashup, or you do something else which is musically, so you get your brain trained into having that.
Yeah, I often would maybe just check out a little interesting tutorial about something specific in production or something like that.
Because we always get inspired by the tutorials.
Absolutely,
so.
Yeah,
because you see something. I watch so many tutorials. Most of the time, when other people are doing certain things, I just watch tutorials on YouTube.
Yeah,
because I grew up in a situation where I needed to do everything myself. But now if I want to know how did Siskin make this lead, you would go on YouTube. There's someone that created it.
What is going on? It is an incredible thing that you can do that.
I love that so much.
I do.
Lisa LB206 wants to know, how would you define your genre? It's transcendent.
Transcendent.
It's difficult. I don't think that
we made up a genre, didn't we?
We made up a genre for our music, and that's Euphoric House.
Euphoric House.
Euphoric House.
I like that.
Yeah. So it kind of crosses the boundaries between trance, progressive, and house, and really uplifting. And so
that's where we're at the minute. Yeah. But our own genre.
We're not making music to fit into a particular genre. We're making music that
I applaud that 100%. No, I think if you would ask a question like this, how would you define your genre? And I would have to say it about you guys.
No idea.
It could be melodic house. It could be progressive trance. Could be slow trance. Could be whatever. Just call it Siskin.
Correct.
Right? Let's keep it that way.
I like it.
Yeah.
Vinylite wants to know, when do you plan to release your artist album?
Ooh, well.
You've been doing a bunch of EPs.
Yeah.
We have,
So it's going to be coming this year. We can't tell you much more about it than that. But
yes, you can.
No, we can.
Oh, yes.
I think
we can.
Arnie might have other ideas about that. But
let's call Arnie. That's kidding.
Sometime in the summer, it's coming out.
Okay. Well, that's already an answer.
Well,
yes, it is an answer.
You can say, sorry, Arnie. They told me.
I say Ruben bullied me into talking.
It was my fault. Amaliart wants to know, I can't wait to see you ladies at the State of Trance 1000. How does it feel to be playing at such an iconic place?
Wow.
Do you know what? It's been my life dream. Since I came to 650, spoke to Armin, and Armin told me what to do. That's been a focus. It's like, right, I want to get to the point we play to a State of Trance. And we even put together a kind of a strategy when we first started.
Yeah, we did.
And on the strategy so it was like a kind of marketing strategy plan. It says we want to play at a State of Trance, and that has been there. So it's just so overwhelming. We're like Sue said earlier in the program, we're like excited puppies.
Yeah, we are. we also thought when we when it was first arranged, we thought that was it was a mistake, didn't we? That we got we're on the line. We thought somebody's put the wrong name in. We're not invited.
We wanted to book Sescan, but we
exactly. I don't know, but they weren't available.
Yeah, it became Sescan. So yeah, no, I think you fully deserve it, like 100%.
Thank you.
Because like saying you're making something unique. The way that you guys present yourself, I've seen you behind the decks just having so much fun. And that's what I like to see. Like there's passion. There's you're so excited about your own music, right? And that's something that reflects on you will see it also on the people in the audience, that they will sense that it's something real. It's not like pre-made or whatever. It's really you guys just having fun.
Definitely. Yeah, exactly that. And we can't wait to share it too.
Yeah.
Is there something special that you're going to prepare for this?
For A State of Trance. Mm-hmm. We're gonna have like a recording session in the next week or so where we sit down and look at our, you know, what we've got and the music, and we're gonna make it our own. So we're gonna do little mashups of songs of ours that people might have heard before, but in a completely different format. So we're gonna have a really unique set. And it'll be a lot more towards the, well, we call it banging side of our sound.
Like the remix you did for Farius.
Yeah,
for example.
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah, like the Farius remix. So it's a lot harder.
Yeah. And I have to ask this. Is there like a, when you guys are going to perform, is there a moment that you will be doing live vocals as well, Sue?
Yes, that was absolutely definitely something we've talked about. I have done actually once.
Didn't you? We did at the Ministry of Sound. Yeah.
I did a few, and there's, you know, the sound tech was really good. I managed to do a couple of live vocals and that was fantastic. So absolutely, yes.
It's also so hard to do it in a club though, because
so
the
hard.
Sound is just terrible for, I always feel bad for vocalists that come along with DJs.
Oh yeah.
Because it's so much harder to sing over something in such a loud atmosphere, right?
It is, absolutely. I've heard so many stories from vocalists of, like, you know, that they still have nightmares of if some of the things that went wrong on a live set or something like that. Yeah, it is hard.
So let's hope.
But when it works, well, it really works.
It's always going to be great with you. 100%.
Duet, for sure. Duet, Ruben?
Duet, yes. Yes. I'll be doing the backing vocals of you. Which song would it be?
Oh, wow. What could we do?
I don't know. You tell me. I'm
one of the new ones.
One of the new ones, yeah.
Featuring Ruben Durand.
Yeah. That's something that never happened before. The funny thing is that actually now, the production skills or plugins right now actually make it possible to make me sound. So,
You're tempted now, aren't you?
I'm tempted. Maybe I'll start my own band. My own vocals.
I'm just thinking about your time management. How are you going to fit that in as well?
That's a valid point. That's a problem. Elena 69 Luca has the question, what is your favorite producer and why?
My favorite producer in the scene is Giuseppe Ottaviani.
Okay.
I think he's just a master at what he does. And he's through his masterclasses and one-on-one support, he's helped me so much. And everything that Giuseppe does, like his life, is he a 3-pointer now?
Yeah.
Is just incredible. He just makes it look effortless. And so for me, he's my favorite producer.
When I watch his tutorials,
yeah,
or his live streams, that he's just standing there in the studio with all these synths.
Oh,
all these synths, and I'm
heaven, isn't it? Synth heaven.
Yeah. It's true. It's like effortless. And the funny thing is that when he started making Horizons, the progressive stuff, I'm like, Giuseppe, you're supposed to do uplifting well, and now you do this well as well?
I know.
I hate you.
Yeah.
No. Giuseppe, love
just,
you, man. You're
amazing.
Fantastic.
He is.
So that's a good one. And for you, Sue.
Oh, that's so hard. I do love Giuseppe. I would say maybe Ben Boomer.
Oh, yeah.
I really love his style and love his sound and the richness of his music. I kind of feel it in every pore of my body when I listen to his stuff.
It reflects a lot in your music, I guess, also that you enjoy Ben Boomer.
Yeah.
His live sets are also unparalleled.
Oh, wow, yeah. That set he did in an air balloon.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, Cappadocia, yeah.
God,
yeah.
That was just...
The Circle.
So good, yeah.
I've watched that maybe 5 or 6 times at least.
The very first track. Oh, yeah.
Goosebumps.
Yeah, Goosebumps.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, that's actually, talking about Goosebumps, that's kind of all...
Yeah, that's the...
That's our gold standard.
That's the benchmark?
It is the benchmark. If we haven't got Goosebumps for our own music when we're doing it,
we're not doing it.
It's not good enough. that's what we...
Yeah, and I think in all the tracks that we've had ideas for, maybe, I don't know, 1% makes it out there, because mm-hmm. unless it gives us both goosebumps and we're both really excited about it, then it's we're not just going to put something together that's, oh, it's quite average, that. It's got to be amazing, hasn't it?
How many ideas do you scrap?
this week...
This week, okay. Say no more.
I've recorded about 5 things this week, and I don't know if any of them are going to make it onto a Siskin track. Maybe there might be one idea there.
But you have to park them and then maybe revise them in like 4
exactly.
or 5 years.
I mean, there's some ideas that you go, but I go back onto my recording notes on my phone, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is brilliant.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, Sue, I forgot about this.
And Sue's like, what is this? What is wrong with you?
Yeah, exactly that.
All right. Well, thank you so much for answering all these questions. It's been lovely to chat with you guys. And I'm very much looking forward to your set in Utrecht. And of course, to much more that's going to come from you guys in the future.
We can't wait. Thank you so much for
having us. Please keep up the good work. And I'll see you next time.
Thanks, Ruben.
Thanks for watching. This is the State of Trance podcast, and we'll be back next time with a new one. And if you have any questions or comments, just write them down here in the comment section, and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in. Check all previous episodes on YouTube or your favorite podcast portal. A State of Trance podcast.